Morning, everybody. Crowd seems to thin out a little bit. So currently, carbon stocks are reported based on the spatial coordinate or fixed depth method. And this is just the mass of carbon per unit area to a certain depth, 20, 40 centimeters. Problem with this method is that the surface can fluctuate. And this can happen either because of compaction, tillage, shrink swell of clays. And the shrink swell of clays is what we're interested in for Oklahoma. While we don't necessarily have that many vertisols, most of our state soils have anywhere up to 60% smectitic clay in them. And finally, bulk density does change as a function of moisture in shrink swell soils. And this has the potential to change carbon stock estimates, regardless of management practices that are in place. Gifford and Roderick proposed a cumulative mass method, and this uses a constant mass of soil rather than a constant depth. And they proposed that this has the potential to improve soil carbon stock measurements. Our objectives for this study were to determine if bulk density and carbon mass estimates do change as a function of moisture in a high shrink swell soil, and also to determine if a fixed mass method can improve the stability of carbon stock estimates. For this experiment, we used a conventionally tilled soybean field. It was only recently converted, I believe in the past year, from grassland into tillage. Our soil type was a Kirkland silt loam. Our sample area was 7.6 by 7.3 meters. We used 3-inch diameter cores, and these were collected down to 60 centimeters using a hydraulic probe. These were then sectioned into 10 centimeter increments. Once these were all hauled back to the lab, we analyzed them all for soil moisture, bulk density, pH, inorganic carbon, total nitrogen, and coefficient of linear extensibility. The equation we used to calculate the fixed mass is the same one proposed by Gifford and Roderick. And for this one, you have to select a target mass. And for our purposes, we selected 5,000 metric tons. And we started approaching that between the 30 and 40 centimeter depths. From there, you take your carbon concentration from that 30 to 40 centimeter depth, and you multiply that by your target mass minus the mass of soil above that 30 centimeters, and then just add your mass of carbon in that 0 to 30 centimeter section. And that'll give you your total mass of carbon to 5,000 metric tons. We used a completely randomized design composed of 10 reps with 3 different sampling treatments. Our sampling treatments were based on soil moisture. The 3 dates we used, that first date, 8/13, we had been over a month without rain at that point, so pretty close to the permanent wilting point, although we didn't actually measure it. That 8/25, between 8/13 and 8/25, we'd gotten a little over 2 inches of rain. And that 8/25, we sampled the morning after the last little bit of rain fell. 8/30 was just a follow-up to those rainfall events. And these were just to try to get a variety of soil moisture. This slide, we have the coal rod values on the X and depth on the Y. And these coal rod values just represent percent change. As you can see, the values increase with depth. And this just indicates an increase in shrink swell capacity with depth. And that's all we were really looking for, was how much shrink swell can we expect out of this soil. This first graph is soil moisture, where we've got percent moisture across the X and again depth on the Y. The first treatment was significantly different at all depths. As you can see, it was extremely dry. For the second and third treatments, they were significant at the surface depths and then again with depth. And for the bulk density, you can see kind of counterintuitively, in the driest treatment, we had a lower bulk density at that 40 centimeter mark, and higher bulk densities in our wetter treatments, which we weren't actually expecting to see. We do have a couple more locations to analyze, and we'll be looking at that to see if we're getting compaction, or maybe there was a structural change. So we're also going to take a couple more cores out of that field to see what was actually happening there. For our carbon concentration, we had no significant differences. It's a pretty typical carbon profile for an Oklahoma soil. And again, this was only recently tilled. This first table is the carbon mass using that fixed depth method or spatial coordinate. And in that first column, you've got the depth from 10 to 60. And our carbon content is a cumulative, it's just a running total going down the profile. And more importantly, in this far column here, we have the absolute difference. This is the maximum amount of difference between treatments. And as you can see in this 40 centimeter depth, that's where we picked up a significant difference. And this is most likely due to that significant difference from the bulk density. But you can see where we have that, our absolute difference goes way up. Our current estimates for Oklahoma carbon sequestration is about half a metric ton per year. And there's no way we accumulated four times that in 3 weeks. So you can see there's a little bit of variability in the fixed mass, or fixed depth. The second one is the carbon mass using the fixed mass, or cumulative mass. And in this first column, we've got the target mass, and then the estimated depth at which you hit those target masses. And this is the regression equation we use to calculate those fixed depths. And again, these are just a running total of soil carbon going down the profile. And we had no significant differences between those treatments, but our absolute differences went way down. And again, while we didn't have half a metric ton accumulation in 3 weeks, it's getting closer to a real value. So, in conclusion, our bulk density and carbon mass estimates didn't change as a function of soil moisture. The effects of the shrink swell were possibly limited by overburden. We just didn't see any effects at the surface. And for the soil, you can use either estimate, but like you saw from those numbers, that fixed mass analysis does improve the accuracy or the precision and consistency for the carbon estimates. There's still a lot of work to be done. Needs to be looked at for different soil types, but approaching a more realistic value for carbon sequestration is sort of the ultimate goal for this. And if anybody has any questions, thank you for your time.
Plenty of time for questions, Christine.
Somewhere in here. There we go. The fixed mass, you pick a target mass that you want to look at. And for ours, we used 5,000 metric tons. And the fixed depth, you just calculate that to whatever depth you pick. If you're reporting it based on the 40 centimeters, you calculate how much carbon is up to 40 centimeters. And this gives a slightly more accurate representation because it's not going to be necessarily a constant increase. Mm-hmm. So it just allows for a little more improved calculation for it.
In the fixed depth method, though, you still use that mass in that depth, right?
You do. Yeah, you still use up to that 30 centimeters, mm-hmm. but the amount of carbon between that 30 and 40 centimeters is going to be a little more different. I don't know how best to explain that. I'm sorry.
The fixed mass takes out some of the air associated with air in your bulk density value. So if your fixed depth is, you've got to have very accurate bulk density values. And your assumption would be that over time, if you were monitoring soil carbon, that your bulk density as measured by your method of choice does not change as over time. Because if it does, then you're actually measuring a different mass of soil. And with the fixed mass method, you're always evaluating the same mass of soil as measured from the surface down.
So it removes the air in the volume estimate.
Right.
Yeah. In your conclusion, you said bulk carbon, does it change with soil moisture?
For this soil, it didn't.
For this percentage, the dry percentage or the moist percentage? Because when you change soil, the volume changes.
Yeah, this was moist.
Oh, the moist?
Mm-hmm. Or, I guess, field state.
Field capacity. Yeah, that's better. Field moisture.
What increments did you sample at?
Oh, these were cut into 10 centimeter increments.
Yeah, a comment or a question on your sampling of your bulk density.
Mm-hmm.
These are about 7.5 centimeter diameter cores?
Yes, sir.
Did you take a full core, or did you take individual bites of 10 centimeters? So sometimes with those kind of sampling techniques, you get consolidation of the sample, which then produces errors, different kind of errors associated with your bulk densities.
So it
may not be as sensitive for looking at variations of bulk density with water content changes.
We took full cores. I believe we tried to get as many of the cores as we could down to at least 100 centimeters, and we just cut it off at 60.
So you didn't really evaluate whether you had consolidation effects by taking that kind of a long sample?
We did compare the length of the core to the depth of the hole just to make sure we weren't getting too much compaction or any, really. Did that answer your question? Yeah.
Other questions? I have a question about the 5,000 megagram.
Mm-hmm.
What is the significance of that number? Is that something people use in general, or?
It was mostly, since a lot of the carbon stocks are generally reported at 40 centimeters, that was just sort of a cut off, and it was just a nice number that we wanted to use. There was not a whole lot of motivation behind taking that one.
Okay. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.